26 minutes to 7, opposition supporters in Kyrgyzstan are in control of the capital, Bishkek. But what happens next? Steve Rosenberg is our correspondent there. Steve, have the opposition now settled on one leader?
They've appointed an interim president. There are a number of interim leaders. The next step will be to name a leader who's going to take this country forward. But the biggest problem they face at the moment is maintaining stability. Overnight, there was widespread looting in Bishkek. Supermarkets were attacked, burnt down, jewelry shops raided, and there were casualties too. We're getting reports of at least 3 people being killed in what, by all accounts, was a night of chaos in Bishkek. We're also getting reports that stone throwing has resumed outside some of the government buildings here in Bishkek. So that's going to be a challenge for the opposition, which seized power yesterday, maintaining order, maintaining stability. It's something they promised they're going to do, but it's not going to be easy.
But is an opposition, an interim parliament now being established, and can that legally happen?
Well, the previous regime says it can't legally happen. Now, no one knows where the previous president, Akayev, is at the moment, although there are many rumours. He may be in Kazakhstan, or he may be at some airbase even in Kyrgyzstan. But members of the previous regime say that what happened yesterday in Bishkek was illegal, an illegal seizure of power. The opposition, of course, sees it quite differently, as a democratic revolution.
And what's the reaction outside? Because the US is saying it's keen to see events move towards a democratic process and stable government. Any word from Russia?
Well, Russia is concerned too, but I think there's a big difference here between what's happening in Kyrgyzstan and what happened in Ukraine last year. Now, in Ukraine, Russia and the West were really at loggerheads over what happened there. But I think both Russia and the West now in Kyrgyzstan have an interest in maintaining stability. No one wants instability increasing in this strategically important area. And I think both Moscow and the West will do all they can to try to maintain that stability here.
Steve Rosenberg, thank you very much. The speed of events in Kyrgyzstan in Central Asia is breathtaking. Opposition supporters are in control of the capital, Bishkek, after days of political upheaval and violent protests. President Askar Askayev is said to have fled the country. One opposition leader, Kurmanbek Bakayev, says he's been named as acting president and prime minister. Another opposition leader, Felix Kulov, who was in prison 4 years ago, has been freed. This is the third revolution in an authoritarian former Soviet republic, following the pattern set in Georgia and Ukraine, but it could have even greater impact in the region. Let's hear first from Steve Rosenberg in Bishkek. Steve.
Well, after the drama of yesterday, life in Bishkek seems much calmer today. There's plenty of traffic on the roads, people strolling through the city centre. As for the opposition, well, they are now in parliament discussing how to consolidate their grip on power. I'm standing outside the parliament building at the moment, and as I say, things are pretty calm. That cannot be said of last night. There was widespread looting in Bishkek, people burning down supermarkets, raiding jewellers' shops, and the opposition has said its priority now is to maintain control and stability here in Kyrgyzstan.
Steve Rosenberg, thank you. Well, let's hear now from Andrei Kortunov, who's advisor to the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Russian Duma, and Michael Hall, analyst for the International Crisis Group Central Asia Project. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Michael Hall, first of all, do you think that this week's events could have been predicted, especially looking back at what happened in Georgia and Ukraine?
I think certainly a number of the signs were there. First of all, the growing frustration with the Akayev regime that's been expressed by people in various regions of the country, this growing frustration with corruption and poverty that had been building for some time. And we've seen again that the society's matured very much in many parts of the former Soviet Union to the point where the kind of interference in democratic processes that took place in Kyrgyzstan are less and less likely to be accepted.
What do you think it will do in terms of implications for the region, because the country borders China on the east and Uzbekistan on the west, and of course the ever-present Russia?
Well, certainly this event could very well have tremendous implications for the region, both in a positive and a negative sense. On the positive sense, I think this will send a message to democratic forces throughout the region that, yes, they can act, they can challenge their governments, and perhaps even in some cases prevail. On the other hand, I think this will send quite a similar message to the governments themselves, but with very different results. And we've seen a sort of tightening of controls throughout the region following Ukraine and following Georgia. And I think there's a good deal of reason to be concerned that we will see an increasing clampdown on opposition, on independent press, and so on in Uzbekistan and in Tajikistan as well.
Andrei Kortunov, how do you think Russia will view this? Will they see it as the same sort of threat, the East-West split that was represented by the revolutions in Georgia and Ukraine, or is something different going on here?
Well, I hope that there'll be a different reaction, but so far, there are statements made that the West is involved and the West should take at least a part of responsibility for what is going on in Kyrgyzstan. I think that it would be even more difficult to justify these claims compared to what they made in Ukraine or Moldova, because it's evident that in the particular case of Kyrgyzstan, Russia's interests coincide with that of major Western powers.
They obviously have seemed to be paranoid, if we can use that word, in the past. Do you think that those sort of conspiracy theories about what may happen here will continue?
I think that it might well be the case. At least the most conservative part of the Russian establishment would definitely try to use it to support the siege mentality which it has already. And I think that there'll be a strong pressure exercised on President Putin to tighten the grip on the Russian society to make sure that nothing like that could happen here.
When you look at what's happening there, do you get a sense that the opposition will be able to unite to take power properly?
Well, I think it's too early to make conclusions, and there is a major difference between what happened in Kyrgyzstan and what happened in Ukraine and in Georgia earlier, because in Kyrgyzstan the opposition cannot claim that they really won the election. They were questioning the results of the election, but even if they do an extra round of elections, it's not clear whether they can get the majority. And also the difference is that the opposition is very fragile and very eclectic.
Okay.
Indeed, we have liberals, but we also have fundamentalists there.
Just very quickly to you, Michael Hall, how do you see this panning out over the next 2 or 3 days?
Well, again, it's going to be very interesting to watch and very difficult to predict. I think it is quite important to point out that the opposition does have a very daunting task ahead of itself in terms of uniting the country, and it remains to be seen to what extent they will be capable of doing that. It's obviously one thing to overthrow a government; it's quite another thing to build a new one. So this will bear very, very close watching from all sides, I think.
Thank you very much, Michael Hall and Andrei Kortunov.